Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We finally meet Mike Lowry, or whatever. Jen learns how to put her feelings in a box, and Anissa is Robin the Hood. All that and more on the Black Lightning After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Charles. Hey. Well, we're picking out.
Her feelings box was gold.
Oh, come on. We're talking about what song we're going to play. And Portia Rucker and Jill Scott, and I said RIP on this show because
she got just passed, you know,
toasted. She got toasted on this show. But what is up, guys? We're back for another episode of your favorite after show, the Black Lightning After Show. Season 2, Episode 3, The Book of Consequences, Chapter 3, Master Lowry. I am your girl, Drew Jones, and I cannot do this show without my favorite girl. What is up?
Hey, y'all, it's Portia.
This is my karaoke song.
Yep, we vibing to it. It's a good one. But we have so much to talk about tonight. We met Principal Lowry, who... I'm not saying we were right last week.
I'm not calling him Principal Lowry. First of all, he ain't nobody principal.
He's not, but we will get into that in just a second. We're talking about Anissa. Anissa is back with Grace. You know, she's Robin the Hood.
Barely.
We got some stuff to talk about. Jen, it's putting her feelings in a box, which we don't know if that's a good thing yet or not, but we will find out. Mm. And as always, we have our OMBL moment, which is our Oh My Black Lightning, our OMG moment of the week. So if you are watching live, make sure to chat with us and I will shout some of you guys out. We also have Gamdar, where I throw it to my girl Portia, and she tells y'all all the ways that Gamby's either kicking it or being sketchy. So stay tuned, because as always, it's going to be hilarious. Initial thoughts of this episode, because I feel like we had a lot of feelings happening.
First thought, thank you, Henderson. That's my overall thought. Thanks, Henderson.
I want our boys to be friends again, man. They're stressing me out.
I never thought they was friends. They was always looking like they was going neck to neck, you know?
I feel you.
They had a lot of differences, a lot of friction sometimes. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. You either gonna like me or you not. Either way it go, you can't put me nowhere.
We will get all into that. But someone who clearly is coming in with no sense of, hi, how you doing, is Mike Lowry, which we were already, he is exactly who we described him to be. He comes up in there and it's, you know, metal detectors and it's Principal Lowry to you. What do we think of Mike Lowry? Because your face is telling me so much right now.
He can beat it, okay? F Mike Lowry, okay? I am not calling that man principal. Look, I'm not on the show. But first of all, because he gets no respect, you're not about to come up in there and try to turn the whole school upside down because you got quote unquote power. It's like another representation of what people do when they have power. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the power in, I guess, a sense of he's a different race as well. You know what I'm saying?
He's
a white man that came into a black community and is being gentrified, okay?
Which we did talk about that a little bit last week. I also wanted to point out that Garfield's a charter school, and a lot of charter schools are known for being more racially segregated due to the exact reason we talked about last week, just the better understanding of what the students are going through and
whatnot. Well, I ain't seen not one white kid in there, so you think they're going to start bringing them in?
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't all black kids. It definitely was, like, minorities, for sure. But still, that, I mean, even that, like, is different than an all-white school. So it was very, I am interested to see what happens. I hate the that there's metal detectors up.
We had that conversation last season. We did. We thought it was a thing. We thought it was okay. Well, I thought it was okay because I grew up with having metal detectors in all of my school growing up on the east side of Detroit. So it was like a win-win for me because I felt safe in school because at any given moment, somebody can walk up in there with a gun and it'd be all types of hell.
We'd be
having one of them school shooting things on the news.
I feel you. I also had metal detectors at my high school and they actually weren't put in until I was like a sophomore because there was a school shooting, but there was a threat of a school shooting. Mm. And I remember feeling it felt like on top, it wasn't necessarily just the metal detectors. There were multiple things that went into place that made the school feel less like a school and made it feel more prison-like. And I feel like that's kind of where
Mike Lowry going.
Yeah, I feel like that's what they're alluding to because even his conversation with Jefferson was very there was no connection there. And I feel like when you're on a team and you're the captain of the team, you have to have connections with your teammates because you can't score all the points by yourself. And so Mike Lowry is out here trying to, you know, be the Troy Bolton of the team. You need Chad, homeboy. You watch High School Musical, you would have gotten that reference. But
as I'm looking at Portia, I'm assuming she did not watch
High School. I watch High School Musical.
Okay, you're just not amused by mine.
I'm sorry.
It took me a minute to put two and two together.
It's okay, but I'm just saying, like, you got teamwork makes a dream work. Mike Lowry is not a team player, so I do not mess with him.
I think he is a representation of what actually happens, you know? It feels like prison. And first of all, I didn't even find out that the name of the show was called Master Lowry. Yeah. So everybody, look, Drew just told me that when we walked up in here because I didn't check the title of the show this time. And that's what she told me. And I said, oh, no.
That's exactly what she said.
Oh, no. They done called this man Master.
They sure did,
and that's
girl.
What he about to be, master to the school. He got him in jail already. He already, you know what?
This is
just a foreshadow of a repetition of history.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I could say. But I just don't like it.
I feel you. Out. There's actually a comment that I wanted to read. I'm trying to find it really quickly. That someone made a very good prediction of who Mike Lowry might be.
He ain't no Mike Lowry. Like Mike Lowry.
He not like Mike Lowry, like Mike Lowry. But while I look for that, Portia, why don't you tell the people how they can continue to talk to us throughout the week?
Yes, After Buzzers. Y'all already know we need y'all help, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows from dramas, reality, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans like you. But we need your help. Yes, and again, we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And we need a mutual growth. You know what I'm saying? You grow, we grow, everybody grow. Okay? And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. You got options. You can turn the facts off. No, please decline. So hit that subscribe button right now and for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for helping us be the best fans for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes.
Y'all knew what I was trying to say.
You knew.
Y'all knew it.
For real, we love talking to you all. Sometimes you guys catch stuff that we don't catch. For instance, Dale Burgess last week said in the comments of last week's episode, I'm wondering if the new principal is going to be an agent or a spotter for the ASA now that the former vice principal's gone and we know they haven't stopped looking for metas. And I mean, Mike Lowry looks sus. You know what I'm saying? So maybe he is the new ASA spotter. That would be a prime place to be as the principal if you're in a high school full of kids who maybe are metas. So shout out to you, Dale Burgess, because that
was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, they didn't necessarily, Kara, like they didn't know that she was trying to get out or they couldn't find her. Like, how did they know that they needed a new spotter?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that they...
Well, because she disappeared on
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they knew.
Yeah.
Let's hop... Someone in the chat wanted to bring up Lynn, and so I wanted to really quick touch on the Lynn plotline, because it was a little short, but it did have some tea to it, you know, some truth. We meet Dr. Helga Jace, who is the crazy scientist lady.
Who experimented on 11 people. 10 of them lost their feet and one died.
Yes.
And so now she in jail locked up because that's some crazy stuff. Talking about she's still in jail doing science. Girl, if she don't get herself together, something wrong with her.
But what's bigger than all of this is that this is another reference to The Outsiders, which now last season, if you watched it with us, we talked about how Grace being on the show alludes to The Outsiders because she was part of The Outsiders in the comics. So this is another little drop that makes not only me, but who else in the chat was talking about it? Nicholas Kelly referenced that, you know, this isn't Dr. Jace was... Someone that was referenced in the...
So we're about to have some type of interluding.
I'm curious to see. I mean, we did get to see Grace, and we'll talk about Grace in a second. But Grace is back, so I wouldn't be mad at it. Because, I mean, The Outsiders was pretty dope. And maybe that will play into Anissa's like, Robin Hood thing.
But I thought, well, okay, so... People in the chat last season were like, we don't need a crossover because this show is amazing all by itself. But you're down for the crossover, is what you're saying.
I'm down for... I don't want this to be the new Arrowverse. Because I feel like with the Arrowverse, for those of you who don't watch the other CW DC shows, that's Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow... I don't want it to get too big like that because those shows are kind of campy. And that's why I've always been very anti them crossing over with Arrowverse because those shows are a little bit less serious. They're a little bit more like there's lots of jokes and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Black Lightning was
hit too many significant topics to be playing around with.
But now we have Titans. Which I don't know if you guys have watched Titans yet, but they're kind of going along a little bit darker, deeper side, like Black Lightning. So I wouldn't necessarily be upset with seeing that. Yeah, seeing some things go over. But I just don't want it to be, I don't want it to become too big of a thing, because like this last crossover we had with the Arrowverse was just too much. There's just too many characters, and it was hard to have storylines for everyone. So... If they do a crossover, I want it to stay very small.
Mm.
But I wouldn't be mad at it. I think The Outsiders would be a dope thing to bring up. It was a really good comic book. I think it could lead to a lot of really interesting shows. I wouldn't even be mad at a spinoff of The Outsiders.
Mm.
But you guys just couldn't have Anissa because obviously we need her. But we'll see. We'll see. But let's get into Anissa because she decides she really is like Robin Hood, Robin the Hood.
She said this girl is Robin the Hood. I don't agree with
what she's doing.
I don't agree with robbing the thugs to pay the church. You know what I'm saying? To pay the reverend to get the money because we don't necessarily know what the reverend is doing with the money either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And granted, she is giving it to him, but that time, that one split second of a moment when she had Gambi check the bank account to see what was, you know, in the account, she like, oh, he ain't got the money. And I'm like, okay, well, where the money at? You know what I'm saying? Like, was he supposed to have the money already? Or how is he, you know, how is the money not in the account that it's supposed to be in at the time that it's supposed to be in? Either they didn't have enough or they just didn't. You know, and I don't want it to be one of those things like, you know, how, and not to bash any of the church because, you know, I'm a part of the church, but like a lot of people have pointed out that some pastors or people in leadership at the church do squander the money, do take the money and do things with it. And I do not want it to be one of those issues where she's giving all this money to the reverend, and yes, he wants to use it for a good cause, but he only putting a certain amount to a good cause, and then he's actually using the money for other things.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you because, I mean, it's no secret that this show is very... They're going for hard topics. And right. I think a topic that's especially hard in the Black community is church, because a lot of us have interesting relationships with it. We're either part of it, we're not part of it. We grew up being a part of it, and now we're not. You know, like, there's a lot of distrust, I feel like, in the church.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's kind of, like, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't want. I do not want it to be one of those things, because, granted, in real life, things like that do happen, but then that puts a negative impact on people's mind regarding the church. And in all reality, even though you do have people in leadership who might take the money and things like that, the Bible do say that you are supposed to tithe. So you planting your seeds, giving your offering, paying your tithes has nothing to do with what they do with it. You're good on your end because you were in the right place to actually sow that seed, to pay your tithes, to give offering. Your part is good. What they do with it don't have nothing to do with you, but it still affects the community in a way, because it's like, you know, why would you not be putting it into the community to have different outreach ministries, you know, an outreach ministry to the prison people, to the homeless people, to kids who are, you know, underprivileged, like kids in Freeland, to help the schools get books. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's use the money for what God intended it for, to better his people, not to, you know, buy your material things.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. I'm not mad at her for stealing the money from who she's stealing it from.
Yeah, because she's stealing from thugs.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's blood money, but I feel like I want to see it go into something positive. So I'm hoping.
Right. Y'all need that money. Let me get that. Let me put it somewhere where it's going to be useful.
I'm hoping that it really is going to something useful. I'm hoping that we don't see, like, money laundering or whatever with the pastor, just because.
Me neither, because we ain't got time for that. He already got Rollies. He already got these nice shoes. He already, you know, got the top of the line bags. He ain't playing with y'all.
But you already know if it does go to that, Black Lightning's gonna handle it in some way that, like, preaches to the people, and it's gonna be like a lesson learned, and I'm sure we'll be discussing it here on this after show
and make people get their act together.
How do we feel about Grace coming back, because Anissa comes in. Well, Jennifer tells Anissa, listen, this Zoe girl.
She said it's bad news. She said you need something with substance.
She said soul food.
She said Zoe B is cotton candy. Mm-hmm. No, you need soul food. She called her a bad look for her, okay?
Yes.
She said homegirl is a bad look. You don't need no Instagram booty. She was like, you don't need no Instagram booty. You don't need none of that, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, throw all
that
away.
You need greens, beans, tomatoes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, you name it, Grace.
You name it,
Grace got it.
But she didn't necessarily say that Grace had it.
But I think,
well, she don't know Grace.
She doesn't know Grace. But the fact that Anissa thought of Grace, I feel like, says a lot. And I mean, like, we have the comics to base off of, and the comics, they're a very strong couple. So I do think that Black Lightning is going to allude to that. And we had Chantel tweet on the show last season, and she's become, like, a homie to the panel from last season. And so I do see her stuff quite a bit. And she was in Atlanta for a hot minute. So I was like, actually, she might still be in Atlanta right now. But whenever I see her stuff, I'm like, are you filming right now? She's like, I can't tell you. And I'm like, it looks like you're in Atlanta. So,
well,
think you're filming.
I just want to say, on that scene, Anissa was looking really good. Baby girl, first
she
of all,
did look good.
This whole episode, they had her in the best wardrobe, the best hair, the best makeup. Mm-hmm. The lipstick, the little lip gloss she had on, it looked like she had on Fenty Beauty, okay? While she up there talking to Grace, I was like, dang, Anissa look good. Baby girl, you shining. She was really gorgeous. It had took my whole attention away from the conversation they was having. Granted, you know, she bagged her how she did, though. She good with the slick talk, okay? She good with the slick talk. But she did put her in her place and let her know we were not a couple. Yes, I did ghost you, and I'm sorry for that. But at the end of the day, I could do what I want to do because we ain't in a relationship. And you need to be out here doing what you need to do because you're too pretty to be out here lonely.
But I like that Grace kind of checked her, too, which plays into more of, like, why I think they're a good couple. Because she was like, oh, no, I was out here with other people, too. Like,
right, and why you got an attitude?
Well, because, I mean, if someone ghosts you, you know you, like, low-key feel some type of way. Just a little bit.
You're right.
Don't ghost.
Because I've been ghosted before.
Mm-hmm. In 2019, we not ghosting no more, okay? As we go into this new year, in a couple, like, 2 months. We got 2 months. You can ghost
10 weeks, okay?
You can ghost for the rest of 2018. But once we hit 2019, no more. We're growing.
Right. And don't ghost me because I'm worth it. I promise you I'm worth it.
I'm soul food.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm soul food. The dessert after the best sweet potato pie you can have. Okay.
The delicious leftovers you have the next day at work and you're so excited to go to lunch. That's us. So
the type of soul food you freeze for the next Thanksgiving. Come okay. On.
But don't play us.
You gotta preserve it, okay?
Okay. Speaking of things we need to preserve, Jen is learning how to preserve and box up her emotions. Yeah. And she meets Perdia?
Piranha.
Piranha.
Hold on. That sounds like piranha. Piranha.
Piranha.
Piranha.
Erica Alexander. Our girl.
I think her name is Piranha. Piranha.
I just want to... It's Erica Alexander, who, like, I love the casting that they do on Black Lightning.
Yeah, this was pretty dope.
Because they give us some freaking legends. Like, there's some powerhouses come through here. So, and I knew Erica Alexander was coming on the show, and I was really excited to see.
I didn't know. That was a surprise for me. And when she touched Anissa's hand, and they went to a different place, mm-hmm. I low-key had a heart attack. I said, oh, that done scared the hell out of me. So what is this?
Let's talk about where they go, because I feel like this was such a fun mm-hmm. and, like, deep
let's
moment.
Let's talk about it, because I love it.
I loved it. Perenna. Perenna.
Perenna.
Perenna.
Perenna.
I liked it. But they go into the salon. In the salon, they talk about how it is kind of like a sanctuary for Black women. And it's where we get to, you know, people say that sometimes Black women mask their Blackness because of the different things they do to their hair. And I just wanted to talk to you about it because, you know, you and I both love to rock a new hairstyle. You know, we love getting, you know, different things done to our hair. We've done the braids, the weaves, the wigs, the mm-hmm. natural, the twist out.
Yes.
So how did you feel about that little conversation?
That conversation, it meant so much to me because, you know, I grew up in the hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the beauty shop from young, from like 9 years old all the way up until I graduated high school when I was 18 and moved from the east side of Detroit at the hair salon. And went to college. And even when I got to college, I was still doing hair there, working in the hair salon with my line sister who did hair. So it's like the hair salon has been my whole life. So that's where I grew. Like everything that I know from being at the shop, learning from different women, washing their hair for my auntie, braiding their hair for my auntie, and they schooling me on these men out here. Like, can't no man on the street play me. Like, they taught me street smarts before anything. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, Portia, we proud of you. You go get that education. But at the end of the day, let me let you know something right here. These fools gonna be out here trying to play you, but you don't let them play you. Like, when I tell you, I ain't never got cheated on because I ain't never been that type of girl because I know what to do, okay? And I learned it from being at the hair salon. They groomed me in ways I couldn't have been groomed in school. Like, they supported me emotionally. They were my aunties, uncles, like, because, you know, we got the guys in there mm-hmm. who do everything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cut hair and, you know, okay? And then they let me know, like, I learned all about the gay community from being in the hair salon all my life. So it's like a community of people who aren't ashamed to be who they actually are. They know what they stand for. And, you know, sometimes they persuade you with their beliefs. Like how she said, the beauticians ran the political, they have political influence. And, you know, they help the freedom riders and things like that. Like, these things are true. Like, we stand behind causes and we go head strong. When we on the east side of Detroit and the little Black girl gets shot, we raising money for the family, all types mm-hmm. of stuff, because we like, no, these people need our help. And not only that, it's a place. I don't understand why Jen was uncomfortable. Because for me, it's a place of comfort. Once I get in the beauty shop, I'm like, oh, I'm home.
Yeah.
This is all I need right here, you know? Because you get show live. Talk about podcasts. Talking about a panel of an AfterBuzz show. This is where it all goes down. It all start in the beauty shop. We talk about TV. We talk about life. We talk about everything.
I was going to say, I feel like...
I just went on a rant.
You did, but it was good. It was good. I loved it. You preached it. But no, I feel like, well, for me personally, the salon was where I really got to embrace my blackness because I am a biracial woman and I grew up with a white mother and who didn't know how to do black hair. And so I would get to go to the salon with my grandmama, who's Jamaican, if I haven't repped Jamaica hard enough. But that's where I would go to, like, you know, learn more about my blackness. I would get my hair done. I learned how to do the twist outs. I would be around black women who understood struggles that, like, my, you know, mom didn't necessarily understand. It was a place like where I finally felt like I was home. And so I love that they kind of celebrate the salon for black women because, I mean,
man, it's so much. Like, beauty salons are real therapy. People working around here talking about, you know, black people don't believe in therapy. No, black people do believe in therapy. It was at the beauty salon. Facts. And my thing is, if you ain't go to the salon, that's probably why you got messed up in the hair, okay? You need to go talk to somebody. And a lot of the times, you know, people find out their husband cheating on them at the shop. People find out, you know, what their kids doing at the shop. It's a community that tell all, okay? They gonna tell you all and then some, you know, like situations be happening. Oh, you know this person, you know that person. That's how you find out how small the world is. And you be let into all type of insight that you ain't even supposed to know. Secrets that were kept from you, they all flat out at the hair shop, okay?
So what I found interesting about this was because the salon is such a place where black women get to go and kind of just unwind and unload, you know, especially like in this climate where it's tough to be a black woman. There's a lot of stuff on our back because it's like, what do you choose first? Are you black first or are you a woman first? We don't get the luxury of choosing that. So coming to the salon, you kind of just get to take down that heavy load and just like get your hair washed and call, you know, have it all let go. So I thought it was interesting that in a place where you're able to let go of your emotions, this is the place where Jennifer is learning how to box up her emotions and kind of put them away. We see that Purina is a telepath, which is dope because I love.
I'm just like, what I find this girl? Because I didn't know what had happened. I'm like, she like, I've been looking for you, Jennifer. And the next thing you know, they somewhere else. I said, oh, no. I find this girl? She popped up out of nowhere.
Hoping we get to see more, like we get to kind of learn the backstory on her. Because clearly like the parents know who she is. And so I'm excited to see the backstory on her. I'm interested to see, like, why Jennifer has this, like, deep fear. Because when we see, like, why... Because at first it's like, we're going to create a box. And she gets, you know, she gets comfortable creating the box. Yeah. She makes it gold. And then she's like, no, I'm going to make it a diamond. And then her second meeting with her, she's like, okay, now we're going to see what emotion... In order to put the emotions in the box, we have to see what those emotions are. And it's her losing it. She's screaming. She's scared. I'm interested...
Powers went up in flames. Like, it's just, that was scary. I felt really sad for her. I'm like, dang, that's what you feel like in the inside? She's scared of herself. Like, she screamed out at her parents, like telling them, like, y'all think I'm a monster. Why would y'all set me up with this girl? Like, y'all trying to get me to do this and that. No, you think you're a monster.
Yeah.
And with them trying to help you, it brings that out of you.
Which makes me wonder if it's not necessarily pinting up your emotions, but it's almost like putting the idealism of being a monster into a box. Kind of like Pandora's box, you know. Yeah. They say Pandora's box is like hell inside. Maybe like it's figuring out how to push the monster that you've created like in your image in that box. So I'm really interested to see what's going on there. Another, you know, there's a lot of teenage angst on the show. Someone else is going through it. It's our boy Khalil. He's kind of going back and forth between, like, I want to be a badass and, like, I'm going to shoot drug dealers in the neck with my little needles. And then,
That is so whack.
Between, like, help me.
That is so whack.
I feel like he doesn't get to really, I feel like his go-to when expressing emotions is just anger, which, I mean, we see a lot with our black men.
I mean, but look at who is raising him right now. You know, Tobias is his beauty salon. That is where he's getting his creativity, because in a beauty salon, you get creativity. You know, have all these inspirations to be something better and to be a creative person. And this is the person that's helping him be creative is the person that's making him hold newspapers and burn them until it gets to his fingertips and burn his fingertips. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where he's learning from. And this man does everything out of anger. He's mad that Sinai's dead, so he's punishing him. That's the only way he know how to react too. Like, now I gotta be mean and punish somebody else because, you know, they see that I'm out here acting like I'm your B-word.
Oh, yeah. Tobias says a lot of very anti-Black things throughout the entire show. Like, we've seen a lot of self-hate with Tobias, and it's assumed probably because of his albinoism that he was kind of, like, on the outskirts of the Black community, and it's probably why he has, like, such a hatred towards them. But I feel like it's kind of him teaching his self-hate or pushing his own self-hate on Khalil and, like, pushing it down his throat, because, like, there are moments of self-hate with Khalil that we didn't see before.
The thing that he hated about himself is him being a follower of Tobias, him being caught up in this thing, the situation that he was in when he got shot. Mm-hmm. If he really, you know, dig deep into some stuff, he could see that Tobias is the one who shot him.
Yeah.
Like, he's the reason why he's in this whole mess, you know? So it's really like a win-lose situation. You could walk around with this power and know you got it and live all of your authority in the world, or, you know, you could try to break free. And he don't know what to do at this point. One minute he want to be free. One minute he running with the power he got.
I think sometimes, though, it's easier to dig in deeper into your pain and your struggle than it is to try to work your way out of it. Like, sometimes it's just, like, it's easier to go down and continue to dig in the hole than try to climb out of this giant hole that you found yourself in, you know? And I feel like that's where he kind of gets, like...
Because it takes bravery to do that, and he's not brave. He wasn't a brave child through any of this. The most brave he's ever been is when he wanted to run. That was it. And when he thought he had something. Now that the one thing that he had is taken away from him, he doesn't know what to look forward to. He doesn't have that inspiration anymore. Once you've been hurt to a point where you don't see no outcome and your inspiration is robbed from you, it's like, how do I regain that? And then that's where fear comes in. And when you're fearful, you can't move forward.
Yeah, I think last season he was driven by anger of his situation and what happened to him. And anger is something that can't, like, anger doesn't last. You can't be angry forever. You eventually get tired of it. And so I feel like we saw him coming into the season not being so much angry, but just, like, hopeless and almost like a scared cat or something. Like, when you find, like, a scared stray animal and, like, they're not angry, but they're also, they don't know that you're trying to help them. So they're just lashing out at you. And I feel like that's what Khalil's doing right now, is he doesn't know what to trust and who to trust. So he's just kind of lashing out wherever. And Black Lightning, aka Jefferson's not having it. He goes and finds his mama. Tracks him down.
His mama real MVP. She was not giving him up.
Yeah. But, like, she eventually does because she, you know, she wants her baby out of it. And so Black Lightning and Painkiller meet up. And part of me wonders, like, if Jefferson ever kind of just gave him an actual zap because of the whole Jennifer situation. Like, and you definitely not dating my daughter after this.
No, he gave him a zap for saying that he killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, you know, putting that thing in his neck.
Do you think Painkiller or Khalil would act a little differently if he knew that this was Jefferson, his boo thing's daddy?
Definitely.
Think he'd chill out a little bit?
He will never know, but if he did, you know, he would definitely act a little different. He would literally be... It's something about Jefferson Pierce that when kids see him, they come into some type of submission. Mm-hmm. Like, or not even a submission, a reference. They reference his presence because it's like, this is a very... What can I call him? Could I call him inspirational?
Yeah.
He's a very inspirational, you know, Black man. Somebody that we have to look up to. Not a lot of Black men in our community are doing this, because half of them in the 100, okay? So the ones who are doing something great with their lives, he is our leader. He is our motivator. He is the person who is grooming us, and he helps us, you know, live in the affirmations of the positive things in life. Mm-hmm. So all they can do is reference him. And it's just like, if he knew, he would be a little bit more chill and he wouldn't be trying to shoot them darts at him. Okay? Yeah.
Well, Jefferson does get to collect one of his darts. Like, Gambi told him, you know, we want to get one of his, so I can kind of create like
that was smart.
Create like a antidote to it. And so Jefferson's able to do that. And that is all we see of Khalil for the episode. He is a series regular, so it is going to be something pretty consistent with him. I'm really hoping that we're able to, like, save him. I want to save him.
Only person that can save him is Jen.
Well, the only person...
And that's if she's willing
to save him. The only person who can really save him is herself.
Yeah, you're right.
But I would love to see... Maybe that's what gets Jen in the suit. Because China McClain did say... She told me personally...
She's suiting up this season.
She is suiting up. There is a suit. There is a suit. She's put it on. She loves it. It's there. If you don't believe me, the interview is on the AfterBuzz red carpets page under Comic-Con. Because she told me personally, and I was mad excited. So, there is a suit. She is going to suit up. I would love to see it be because of Khalil. Before we have to wrap up, I want to hop into the Tobias. It more so reflects on Henderson than Tobias. But we've kind of seen this, like, tenseness between Henderson and Jefferson since, you know, it's been revealed that Henderson knows who Black Lightning is. And Tobias gets arrested, basically, and Henderson lets Jefferson know, like, I'm gonna let you know we got him. I almost felt like that was Henderson kind of being like, you can hang up your Black Lightning, like, suit now.
I don't think he was, you know, telling him to hang it up. I think that was just his friendly compassion. Like, you know what? You was holding out on me, but I ain't gonna hold out on you. You gonna find this out in the news, or you gonna find this out, somebody gonna tell you that we got the guy you've been looking for all your life. Look, I got him. And I think that was just his compassion as a friend.
I definitely think he's hurt by the situation, because I do think Henderson and Jefferson were very good friends. And I think I think Henderson is hurt by the fact that Jefferson kept this from him. And so it was kind of like him just being like, I don't like my nana used to say when I was getting in trouble or showing my behind or, you know, misbehaving, she'd be like, I love you, but I don't like you right now. And I feel like that's Henderson. Like, yeah. I love you, but I don't like you right now.
Right. And so because he loved him, he had to let him in and know that homeboy locked up right now.
Which, I mean, we've seen how crooked a lot of the police are in the city. So I'm interested to see how long exactly Tobias is behind bars, because I don't think it's going to be long.
Yeah, he got the whole police department on payroll.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that would keep him in there is Henderson.
Yeah.
That's it. And Henderson really going to have to pull some strings, because even Henderson's captain was on payroll.
Which makes me nervous, because I don't want anything bad to happen to Henderson. I don't want anything to happen to Henderson, especially why
Jeff wouldn't let that
him
happen.
And Jeff are on the outs.
You're right.
I'd be very disappointed with that. Please don't do that, because we need that sort of, like, yeah, please don't do that. I'll be upset. I'll be real upset. Mara and I have a friendship. No, we don't. But Mara Brockakiel and Nafisa and Cress Williams all shouted out the show last week because they saw a clip from the show and they all commented on it.
Woo!
So, like, you know, we're friends with them or whatever. So if you're watching right now, Mara, please don't do that.
You know, the season is already rolling out. They already got it in rotation.
We really like it. Well, they're still filming. So I'm just saying, you can always take it back if you did it.
Right. And film a whole new scene and create some new stuff and mix it up. Okay. I feel you.
Keep our boy Henderson, because we like him. But before we hop into predictions, let's do our OMBL moment of the week. If you don't know what the OMBL moment of the week is, it's like our OMG moment, you know?
Right, like, how did this happen?
Yeah, like a moment that really stuck out to us. So you guys in the chat, let us know what your all's OMBL moment was. And while they're typing, Portia, what was yours this week?
Definitely Tobias getting arrested. That was just like, what? Yeah. First of all, you know, you would want to be excited that a villain is being arrested. But I'm just like, what? Why? Because now y'all on some BS. Y'all know y'all ain't keeping this man in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of, like, rubbed me the wrong way. And I can't even express how that made me feel. I was just like, oh, my BL.
Yeah.
Why y'all do that?
I have to agree, because it was a little, like, it was, because who?
It's cheesy. How do you arrest the villain?
I didn't think it was cheesy. It made me nervous. Like I said, I don't want anything to happen to Henderson. It made me nervous because the way Tobias kind of reacted didn't make me feel like he was too stressed by it. It kind of made me feel like it was.
It kind of looked like he planned it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm just like, oh my BL, because yes. It looked like it was a plan for him. He said, "Do I look good?" to Khalil when he was going out. He knew exactly where he was going. He went and visit the. I hope that's Sinai. I think it's Sinai and the.
Oh, that's his sister. Because it had the whale.
Oh, okay. Well, he went to go visit his sister at the cemetery. And, like, you at the cemetery all by yourself. You ain't got guards on standby. What your guards doing? You know, what your people doing? What Khalil at? He planned that.
Yeah, Fandom D Saint in the chat says Tobias purposely got arrested. And that Jefferson's face when he learned Tobias got arrested was priceless. I agree. That was... Yeah, I don't know. I think something's up. My own BL moment, I definitely have to agree, because that was just something I didn't see coming throughout the episode.
Yeah, I'm just like, why y'all do that? So it had to be him, because why?
Yeah, because who turned him in? Because I don't think it's Khalil. Khalil's scared. So who turned him in? I don't know. Let's see. Jelly Fam on High said that Jennifer's inside thought was my OMG moment. So, like, her feelings when she was all lit up. Yeah, that was really intense. Sad. Nicholas Kelly says that their OMBL moment was Jennifer just laying it all out there for both Lynn and Jefferson and the interactions with Purina. I just got a sense of home from it. I agree. Just kind of like her teenage angst. I was like, I feel you, girl. We've been there. We done that.
Lynn looks so terrified. Yeah. I like how she put homegirl Dr. Jace in her place. She threatened her real good. Mm-hmm. Like, baby girl, you ain't leaving this mug. And if you try to leave, I'm going to kill you.
Basically. She said, you out here. She's like, I'm going to put
you
somewhere
where you don't even know that the sun's still shining.
Oh. I was like, okay, Lynn.
I said, okay, Lynn.
Come on.
You better step up.
Let's go. Let's see. Oh, and then Drew Leonard's OMBL moment was Painkiller killing the drug runner.
We knew that was happening.
Yeah. I don't like him getting blood on his hands, but I don't want it to be harder for him to be able to make his comeback. But that is our OMBL moments of the week. If you have an OMBL moment, make sure to comment it or tweet it to us. And who knows, maybe we'll shout you guys out next week, just like we did our boy from earlier, who had the really good point about Mike Lowry.
I can't even say that because he's not the real Mike Lowry.
He's not. You're right. Let's get into Gamdar. Hey.
So for those of you who don't know, Gamdar is a segment where we just figure out Gamby, what he up to, what he trying to do, what we think he on, okay? This week, I believe that Gamby was the one who... you know, set Tobias up, but didn't tell Jefferson. Ooh. That's what I think. That's my prediction, because Kara Esposito, let me not guard it. Kara told, you know, Gamby about the whole situation with who had the briefcase, and they know that Tobias had it. Then Tobias is going around killing all detectives and anybody who knew about the Alvin Pierce situation and burning up newspapers. So it's like something's happening within that whole little world of things. And we see at the end that somebody done dropped dead Kara off at Gamby's place.
Is she
at
dead the end.
Or unconscious, beat half to death. She looked dead, okay?
Yeah, she looked rough.
Beat half to death, whatever she is, somebody dropped her off at Gamby's place because they knew what they was on together. And I feel like, you know, I told you, after he seen that it was Gamby, you know, from her glasses. I mean, after he seen that it was Tobias from her glasses, I think he went on from there like, all right, let me get Tobias, but let me get him locked up rather than let Jefferson get to him so they don't have another fight and brawl and all mm-hmm. of that.
Okay. I definitely think, now that you said it, I think maybe Gamby did have something to do with Jefferson, or not Jefferson, Tobias getting arrested. That does make sense. Because maybe he's still trying to get that suitcase. And so since Kara couldn't go get it herself, maybe he was like, if I get him in jail, I'll be able to have an easier time retrieving
He up to something. He has his hand in some reason of why Tobias is in jail. And I believe, you know, he got to be keeping it from Jefferson, whatever he's doing, because Jefferson really didn't know.
Yeah. So let's hop into predictions, because we kind of were dabbling in it a little, but let's make official predictions. So I don't want to jump down the rabbit hole quite yet. So, like we said before, we think maybe Gambie has something to do with Tobias getting arrested. Yeah. I think he is going to, they're going to be able to get the suitcase and see what is going on in it. I don't think they'll necessarily keep the suitcase. I think maybe somehow it'll get interrupted or stolen or something. But I think we're going to at least find out what's in the suitcase. That's my prediction.
So my prediction is definitely Tobias getting out of jail, because why he in jail? And secondly, I believe that Thunder and Black Lightning are going to break up.
Ooh.
I think they're going to be on, you know, two different sides of the team now.
She is getting a little bit of big head.
Yeah, and they did kind of like foreshadow their argument a little bit, because obviously Gambie's going to let him know that she out here stealing from these thugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that they have a fallout, an argument. And I believe that there's no more going to be Black Lightning and Thunder for the rest of the season, because they're going to go their separate ways.
You think that's when it's going to pull?
Well, no, not the rest of the season, but at least for a couple of episodes, they're going to go their separate ways with how they saving people. Or even she might try to compete with her daddy, like, you know.
You think that's what's going to pull Lightning out? Pull Jennifer out, maybe?
I don't know what's going to pull Jennifer out. She's struggling right now.
She's getting there. She's getting there. But we will have to wait until next week to see. Until next time, where can the people find you?
Guys, you already know. But in case you don't, you can find me everywhere on social media at Portia Carter.
And I'm your girl, Drew Jones. Guys, if you're in the LA area, I will be speaking at LA Comic Con on the Eyes of Esk panel with Master P and Romeo Miller and Symphony.
That's so amazing.
So 4 p.m. on Saturday. I'm so excited. So if you see me, come say hi. And you can find me on all the things at OK Drew J. But until next time, see you guys later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.